how did you end up here teaching at what was then, I guess, Northeast Louisiana University?
Yes, it was. I married somebody from Rival, and I was living in New Orleans and had gone to school there and married him. We moved around a good bit, moved to Baton Rouge and then to Pensacola and then back to Rival. And I'd never lived in Rival, never lived in a small town. So that was a little bit of a culture shock, but came there and settled in. Moved there like in the summer, and the next spring, winter, spring, I thought, well, I'll stop by. I knew that two of my friends, the lady that I had actually been in school under her as a supervisor, and another hygienist who I knew from Baton Rouge, both worked here, and they had opened the program. And so I thought, well, you know, I'll stop by and see if they're there.
You're talking about Beverly Gerald.
Beverly Gerald and Gladys Edwards. Now, this is in 77, spring of 77. So I stopped by and walked in, and Gladys came roaring out of the clinic, and, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? So I said, well, I had one child on each hip, and said, well, I just came by to visit. And so they said, well, do you want to go to work? And I said, what do I do with these?
I'm a little busy.
And she said, well, you know, we have a part-time position open. And I said, I'd love it. Because I had gone back to school, actually, to get my bachelor's so I could teach. In those days, that's what we had to have at that level. So I was very interested. I'd done a little in Pensacola. And so I thought, well, I'd love to do that. So I worked things out and started part-time and stayed part-time for a number of years in and out. Went home, had some, I call it a domestic sabbatical. You have more babies. Then came back and have been here full-time now 17 years.
What is it that made you want to specifically be in the teaching field?
Oh, golly. I always loved teaching. You know, that's the kind of thing you play things when you're growing up. But teacher was one of my favorites. That and nursing. Thought those were both very good things. And my mom had an aversion to both of them, so she didn't think either one were very good. But I had two cousins who both went into dental hygiene. It was a very new field in those days and very few schools. And they both had done that, and I thought, that is really, really neat. It's health-related. It's right up my alley. And I really wasn't interested necessarily in teaching at that point, but interested in maybe a potential for some time. So I thought, well, this is wonderful. So I love clinical practice, did that a number of years in New Orleans, but still wanted to work to finish my degree and be able to teach one time.
Loyola brought you from?
Loyola was where I got my associate and my bachelor's. So I'd gone back to get my bachelor's, and I met my husband that year, so that was when we moved. Baton Rouge had no school at the time, and Pensacola did, had a little junior college, and so I was there, taught part-time in that one while we were there. And then when we came back here, I thought, well, gee, there's a chance that I just might, you know, be able to do that here sometime. So, again, was just making some contacts to see about the future, and the future ended up being the next few months. So it was a wonderful decision, wonderful decision.
What is it that makes you passionate about working with students?
Ooh, I hear this all the time, and I think, oh, it sounds so trite. But to be able to really see the light come on, especially when we do things that are very physical, so that they have to be able to, you know, hold an instrument, and we go from barely holding on to an instrument to really being able to do something with it. And then the other part of this, the really important part, is being able to take what they learn in the classroom and apply it in a clinical setting to a real live patient. You know, it's not a computer. If I burn up the computer, I can get another one, but I really can't do that with a patient. So being able to get them to relate to people, to communicate with them, and then taking that student from wherever they came from, whatever they bring, and they bring tremendous amounts of value with them. But being able to capitalize on what their positives are and minimize their negatives and let them turn into a wonderful clinician.
In your profile, when you were profiled on the ULM website, you wrote about dental hygiene as being critical to overall health.
Oh, yes.
That's part of why you're in this field.
Yeah.
Go into a little more depth about that.
Well, and at the time that I went into dental hygiene, didn't necessarily make that total connection, but I think we're showing that, we're finding that out more and more and more with the science, that your mouth is connected to your body, obviously. We're finding out that it affects your health of your body, and your body affects the health of your mouth. So we're finding lots of studies that are showing correlations. They're not showing proof of cause. They're not showing etiology, but they are showing a lot of relationships. So we're finding patients that early preterm birth, low birth weight babies, the moms have a very high percentage of periodontal disease. Now, did it cause it? Either way, not necessarily, but there's something going on that's similar there. Does it cause them to go into earlier labor? Perhaps. We don't know. We can't prove that yet, but there's some very, very interesting things. There's a huge relationship between diabetes and oral disease. Diabetes makes it very hard to treat a patient with periodontal disease. And as a result, also the opposite has become very obvious, that a patient with periodontal disease causes their diabetes to be harder to control. If a patient gets the flu, a diabetic, they end up in the hospital sometimes, but they walk around with periodontal disease all day long, every day, and they don't understand that that can be affecting it as well. So that, all kinds of things, patients who are in the hospital who are on respirators, oral pathogens in the mouth, if their mouth is not cleaned, can be aspirated and cause pneumonia. So all kinds of interesting things. There's some relationships between some of the pathogens and the enzymes that they have and heart attacks and strokes. Lots of new research out there, lots of interesting things.
If somebody were to meet you somewhere else besides on campus, a lot of what faculty are at this university involves being involved with the community. Mm-hmm. So where would somebody meet you if it wasn't here on campus?
Well, let's see, grocery store, just, you know, the normal things that we do.
Sure.
Church, I'm real active in our church. I live in a small town, Rival, as I said. Rival's a wonderful community, absolutely. For a city girl who came to it with a lot of doubts about, oh, my gosh, I'm going to live in a small town. I've never done that. And I'm going to live in the same town as my mother-in-law. Oh, can I do this? And I did it wonderfully. It's been a wonderful experience, great place to let children grow up and to raise a family and to be in a part of a small community that's wonderful, very wonderful.
So what are some things that you do there?
In Rabel? Oh, golly, lots of things. Like I said, the church is a big one. Kids grew up, but then we have grandkids, so I spend lots of time right now at the baseball field. Lots of local things that we become real involved in. You know, we have lots of little local organizations, our little Rhymes Library was the first public library in the state, and we have lots of programs that we run for that during the year. If a child gets married in Rival, everybody knew them since before they were born, so everybody gives them a party, you know, and has lots of things to do. So you get lots involved in lots of different activities.
You've mentioned also the work with the mobile dental hygiene unit in bringing dental hygiene services to a wider range of people. How do you think that's going to have an effect on the long-term health of Northeast Louisiana?
Oh, it's already been tremendous. We have several different sites. We have one at an elementary and middle school, Riser Elementary Middle School. It's a school-based health clinic, and we have a dental clinic there as well. And so we do that, and we also do the mobile unit. So we've had the mobile unit at school sites here in Monroe. We've had it at this particular year. We've been up in Morehouse Parish at both a school and a community health center. And so we see people that come in, both at the school and at the mobile unit, who come in and they've never been to a dentist. The little children would come in and say, when can I get my toothbrush? Because they've never owned a toothbrush, or they have to share one with all their brothers and sisters. So they were just delighted to be able to have somebody look at their teeth. Now, some of the children, you know, had dental care, and they liked coming in and showing us what they had. But these are folks that really, really desperately need it, and there just hasn't been access for them. So this has been a wonderful opportunity, not just for them, but for our students to be able to see that segment of the population that they normally might not run into.
And is that something that 10 years from now or 20 years from now that you think we'll be able to point to other positive effects that may have been related to having that first toothbrush?
Oh, sure, sure. There are several different schools, not necessarily the school, but the health unit that's attached to the school, and they are all looking to expand their programs. They may be in some kind of a stationary trailer kind of situation where they have like a little school-based clinic, and they're trying to enlarge that or modify it or get a grant to do something with that. And almost every one of them have contacted us and said, we want to do this, and we want to put a dental component in there, because they're beginning to realize how important that is, especially with the kids that come in every day with a toothache and they can't do anything. They'll say, well, you're eligible, you know, to go to the dentist, to go here, but they can't get there. Parents can't take off work, can't come get them, can't get them there. If they had somewhere, they could go right there. Now, we can't take care of any toothaches, and we don't do dentistry, but we can at least do the preliminary part and the preventive part. Teach the kids how to brush, put on sealants, to help them put varnishes on, give them some fluoride treatments, things that really do help. So I think in 10 or 20 years, those kids are going to grow up, number one, appreciating dentistry and a pretty smile, and the fact that they think they might be able to know what to do to get that. And whereas before, they just assumed, there was two generations ago that assumed they would get dentures by the time they're 40 or 50. So we're not there anymore. It's wonderful.
Sharon Chaney is an assistant professor and clinical coordinator at the Department of Dental Hygiene. Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.